me. All the pints are bloody free. Have I told you I've got a high basic salary? Making money, now that's the key.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Rig Biz Podcast. My name is Freddie Claude, and today I'm joined by a bouncy Mr. Archie Curzon. Why are you bouncing about like a lunatic?
Saturday night and I'm feeling good.
You feeling good?
Oh, baby. Saturday night and I'm looking for to lash. Oh, baby.
You're in a wonderful mood.
Yeah,
what's going
Six
on?
Six Nations is back, mate. I am looking forward to it. Restrictions are being released, Fred, and I'm going to go watch a game on the Six Nations on my phone on Clapham Common with a few beers with my mate Clefty. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, that sounds incredibly exciting.
If anyone sees a couple of lads absolutely steamboated on Clapham Common doing bum funnels, watching rugby on the phone, that'll be me. And
guilty as charged.
Yeah.
The big news.
Oh, I cannot wait. I just haven't seen anyone for ages, and just to be on the Common, drinking beers, watching rugby, and what we're going to do? We're going to put the phone so we can throw the pill about and watch it.
Well, that is amazing.
Yeah.
Well, the big news coming out this week is obviously...
I should actually message Clefty, because it would be quite good to maybe, if he brings his pads, then we could do some boxing before. Because I think I'm only going to wear like shorts and a t-shirt.
Sounds like a very busy afternoon.
Yeah, mate, it's going to be good.
Well...
Because all you want to do is you want to burn calories before you inhale beer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
shame we can't go out afterwards. That would be the icing on the cake.
Well, the big news...
That would be my perfect Saturday afternoon. Just watching rugby on the Common and then head down the high street.
Well, the big news coming out this week, Arch, is that wonderful... that crazy Prince Harry and Meghan interview. What did you make of it?
Yeah, look, I've said my piece on it. I've seen it happen to a number of boys. You know, they get with a chica and their chat just dries up and they become quite whelpish. And look, poor old Haz has been suffered from that. You know, it happened to my mate Chopsy. You know, me and him were ruling the roost in Clapham. Then he got a girl, never came out with the boys, always leaving early. His chassis started to dissolve almost overnight. And his Instagram stories were dreadful. It's just like him and her, like on a walk, like eating, or just sitting, like literally no banter.
Where's he at now?
Mate, I haven't seen him for a year. He moved to Putney.
Oh my God, the ultimate sin.
I said it on my Instagram. You know, last I heard he'd taken up, you know, cycling and become a vegan. So, if I'm being honest, he's pretty much dead to me.
Got to keep on shaving my balls and man's gaze,
A dear Manscaped, I hope this finds you well. Well, I've been living my last life through hell, because for the last year I've had the hairiest back sack and crack. Is there any chance you can get in contest and help me out with that? All the chicas are laughing at me when I'm in a park, and I get out my hairy chest and they ran for the dark, and they say, oh my God, he's the hairiest guy we've ever seen. He's the most obscene thing. Please get rid of this man and make it clean. And then I finally get the weed whacker in the post. The Lawnmower 3, the thing I miss the most. And now I've got the cleanest backsack and crack. The girls are coming over with their tongues out saying, I want some of that. They want to taste me, though. They want to take me back to the park and play with me, though. Now I'm the most popular guy in Clapham you've ever seen. Even Archie Curzon's looking obscene, trying to look at me, trying to be like, oh my God, I used to be king, and now I feel like a queen.
I will be shaving there when you go. I will be shaving there. You got to keep on shaving my balls and Manscaped.
Get 20% off all Manscaped products with the code RIGBIZ20. Go to the Manscaped website now. The cheekers will thank you.
Well, last week, Arch, we obviously, well, you showed us your weird take on an advert. It was very low budget.
I reckon they would have got quite a lot of sales from that.
I don't think Fresh Fitness Food were very happy with what you did. So this week, we're going to do a proper ad.
No need. I've got it covered again this week.
No, shut up.
I've taken it upon myself. What I've decided is we need to be speaking to our listeners.
Right.
You know, it's B2C.
Yeah, okay.
You know, so this week, I've been speaking to the listeners of the podcast, calling them up. I found out some guys who listened to the podcast, found their numbers, and I called them. And I've just told them, look, can you go and buy this stuff? Because these guys are paying for advertising on the podcast. Can you get it done?
Well, so you found people with awful chances and you called them and told them to get involved.
Yeah, listen to this.
Hello?
Oh, hi there. Is that Lucas?
Yeah, hiya.
Lucas, hi. It's Archie Curzon here, CCO and CEO of Clapham. I hope this finds you well.
Hiya, how are you?
Yeah, very well, very well. Listen, it's a bit of a serious call. I've got some sort of information from one of your friends, and he's a little bit worried about your chassis.
Yeah, I had been informed, actually.
Yeah, listen, it's not good enough, mate. You know, if you're going to be on the common throwing the pill about, we really can't be having your wobbly chassis out and about. So I just thought I'd call you and tell you about Fresh Fitness Foods. I don't know if you heard about it. It's a delivery service that allows you to cut calories. We're offering a code, RIGBIZ50, that gives you £50 off. I'm just hoping that you take this seriously and sort it out. You know, we've got a couple, you know, 2 months till we come out of lockdown. It'd be great, you know, for all of us to get together and play a bit of touch.
Yeah, no, that sounds fine. Well, on the common, I'm assuming.
Yeah, but obviously this is dependent on, you know, your chassis.
Yeah, of course. I mean, to be honest, this is the wake-up call I've kind of been waiting for, to be honest.
Yeah, no, and look, it's great. What I'll do is I will connect with you on LinkedIn straight after this and we can talk further. But look, I'm just hoping that you sort of heed to my advice and get it sorted ASAP. Sounds like you've got some great chat. You earn a lot of coin. But it sounds like, you know, you've got married and you've let things slip. And it's just, you know, quite frankly, it's just not good enough.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the call. I'll get it sorted.
Okay, yeah, great. Great to hear. Well, look, we'll update probably in a couple of weeks, just see how you're getting on. But if you can get on the Fresh Fitness Food as soon as possible, that'd be great.
Fantastic. Well, I hope to see you in Inferno soon.
Yeah, well, mate, listen, you know, if all goes well, we'll be doing bum funnels before we go in there.
Fantastic. All right, well, thank you very much, Charles. I appreciate the call.
No worries. Keep doing what you're doing. Kind regards. Bye-bye.
So today, ladies and gentlemen, we have beyond a treat in store for you. We have our biggest ever guest on the pod. Multiple championship
winner.
That's
me whistling.
Mr.
That's the wrong whistle, isn't it? That's when you see someone who's attractive.
Well, he is quite attractive.
Yeah, okay, it will fit.
Yeah. We have Mr. Wayne Bridge on
Wazza, Bridgie, yeah, top boy.
And I've been told by Kersey that he's going to get loose and tell us some incredible stories. Yeah. I can't wait.
It's about time that we took the guests up a notch to A-listers.
Yeah.
And Wayne Bridge is an A-lister.
Are you ready to take it up?
Yeah, let's go. Onside, chat!
Well, we promised that we would bring you the biggest names in sport, and today we haven't let you down, as we're delighted to have on the podcast ex-England, Chelsea, Man City, West Ham, and Southampton, just to name a few, left-back Mr. Wayne Bridge. Wayne, I want to start by getting your views on your old friend and teammate Frank Lampard sacking last month. What did you make of it? Did you feel it was the right decision?
Great guy. Great player, and obviously done well at Derby, done well at Chelsea. Obviously going for a bit of a blip. Chelsea look all right at the moment. I still don't think they've played fantastic, but they look all right. So the people that sacked him and brought Tuchel in are going to be a bit, want a pat on the back because they've picked up a few points. They're higher up the table. Big shout out to Mason Mount, by the way. I think he's amazing.
Well, for Frank Lampard from the outside, I mean, just a genius player, you know, and he did a pretty decent job as manager. But he seems to be quite a boring bloke on the social scene. A bit like Owen Farrell.
He's boring on the social scene.
A bit like Owen Farrell in the rugby. Is he boring in the social scene? I mean, is he the guy who stands in the corner with a little half peroni and doesn't do much on a night out?
No. Lampsey loves it. Lampsey loves a beer. I was with him at Chelsea for a good few years. I'd probably... Lampsey's definitely there with me, like, let's get out and have a beer type thing. He's well up for it, yeah. Even, I don't know if he actually brought a pub or if he went half on a pub. I'm sure he owned a pub in Chelsea at some point.
Did you ever manage to get out in the delights of Clapham when you were playing for Chelsea? The big question is, have you been to Inferno's?
I might have, but I can't remember.
That probably means you've been to Inferno's.
I know I've been to Clapham. With a certain friend of mine, which you won't know, and
Jody Morris has a bar there.
Does he actually have a bar, or is it a friend's bar?
I don't know, but I think, well, when I've been in there
talking,
when I've been in that bar in Clapham High Street, I've been talking to some cheekers, and they seem to suggest he owned the bar, decent bar.
That's the cheekers. Yeah, I don't know. He might have just been spinning it a little bit. I'm not sure. I don't really know. I've not heard that. I've been invited out in Clapham by him, but he didn't say it was his bar, so I can't really comment on that. But yeah, most of my nights in Clapham are a complete blur, to be honest.
Yeah, well, listen, you don't go to Clapham for one beer, you go for about 50. And Bridgie, just want to let you know that you're formally invited to Inferno's when it opens up. I think Kersey's keen, so we'll get you and Kersey out on a night out, and you can see the delights of Inferno's.
Well, Bridgie, talking about Kersey, I mean, you're obviously good friends with some of the rugby boys, including Danny. How did you guys meet, and are you a rugby fan or just a fan of Kersey's wonderful looks?
Well, in terms of rugby fan, obviously, I've been to rugby games, Harlequins and stuff, and, you know, love to watch England play. But I'm not really a diehard fan in anything and keeping up to date and watching a lot of it. I'd rather be taking part. I used to play rugby at a young age. But I don't know, has he told you when he first met me? I don't know if he's told you about...
He told us to ask you.
So has he told you anything?
He said, Wayne will do the explanations, just ask the questions.
Okay. So I met him at a wedding, actually. Ben Foden's wedding.
Oh, mate, he is loose.
Foden has been on the podcast as well. Great guy, great voice, great lid.
Don't know how much of this story I should tell. Well, I'll start off with, I got there and none of the rugby boys were there. And it is probably late afternoon and they'd all been playing golf and they stormed through me after about a few hours of me being there. They were already half cut, or they had had a few anyway. Well, they're loud. They're always loud. I got a bit of stick, you know, everyone being by me being a footballer. So I got a bit of stick and then they started playing drinking games. And to be fair, I can drink, well, I can take it too far sometimes. I don't know what I'm doing. But we played some drink games. It was down in, and basically, if you lost, you had to do a shot.
Yeah.
I was going head to head with his mate, Jordan Turnhall.
The outside centre. Great guy. I've seen him in the ship a few times. Loves a beer.
Yeah. So me and him kind of went head to head at one point and I didn't do any shots. So I'm quite quick at downing drinks. And he ended up sitting in the corner of a room, throwing up on himself. But to be fair, true rugby style, he got second wind and carried on.
That is brilliant.
And then, so I think I got on well with all the rugby players and then I had a little bit of a scuffle with someone.
Go on.
So I came out on top of that one. So... then again, the rugby player's like, bloody hell, he's a bit of a geezer, this guy. And then, the rest of the night was all a bit blurry, but I had a great laugh with them and they seemed to like my company. And then the wedding itself, this is really embarrassing. I don't know if people know this story, but you throw the flowers, the woman catches the flowers, and then I embarrass my missus a bit here. They throw the garter, and whoever catches the garter has to put it on the girl's leg. So even though it landed on my lap and I was with Frankie, like I had to do it. Like I'd obviously had a few drinks, so they started playing the music and I'd done it probably a bit too, I made a bit of a show of it with some sexy dancing and stuff like that and ended up putting it on her leg with my teeth.
Bridget, you should have played rugby. You should have played rugby.
Everyone says that. I played inside centre for a bit. And then... yeah, my missus wasn't too happy. She was all right. She knows what I'm like. And then I just remember straight after the rugby players getting hold of me and throwing me in the air. I just remember they must have been at Teddyman. I was so high in the air, I was actually panicking. Like they were throwing me so high. I was worried they were going to drop me. I got away of all of them, to be honest. I've also done a big fish off. I don't know if you heard of the big fish off. I went up against Kieran Bracken.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
we trained a lot together and he was a bit like, mate, you should have been a rugby player.
And Bridgie, you obviously did SAS, Who Dares Who Wins, right? Were there any rugby players in that year? Was Jeremy
Ben
Irvine?
Ben Foden.
Yeah, we've also had, because Jeremy Irvine was in that year as well, right?
Yeah, he was. Great guy.
He's been on the pod as well. Great guy. He's actually going to play me in a remake of our Christmas film this year. It's a remake of Notting Hill, but it's called Clapham Junction.
Oh, quality. He's a great lad. Got on really well with him.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
Yeah, he was really good. Diabetic as well. So he went through that course. There was some touch and go moments because you're deprived of a lot of food and it is tough.
Do they, like off camera, do they give you a bit of banter or is it serious?
There was times, especially with Ben and Jeremy, it was like, I was laughing so hard because if I didn't, I'd cry.
Mm.
I'm like, what? I was just like, what the fuck are we doing? Seriously.
Well, Bridget, you said that you learned a lot from your time on that show. A lot of our guests, you know, including Fode, said how brilliant the process was. How tough did you find it? And like, what did it teach you, which you hadn't sort of garnered previously about yourself?
I've always lacked a lot in self-confidence and worried a lot about what people think about me. So at the age of, I must have been 38 when I did that, to go on there and kind of open up more than I've opened up to anyone.
Yeah.
And the only reason I ended up opening up, right, because when I actually first opened up, I didn't even realise I was getting filmed. They called me into a room, the doctor, and like said, oh, we just need to go through like some of the things we've noticed about you and some of the things that you said. So straight away, I'm thinking, well, I've done something wrong or there's an issue here. So I didn't even realise I was getting filmed. And it, I don't know, I just ended up like crying. But it was, they drain you and you're so drained of energy and your mind just isn't in it. You kind of forget about cameras. At that time, I didn't even think I was getting filmed. I just opened up about how I've lacked in self-confidence probably since I was a kid, mainly because of probably my intelligence in school. Like I was always afraid to get up and speak if I got it wrong and things like that. And football was like a bit of a release for me. Once the whistle went, I was just in the zone. And probably learned to like love myself a little bit. And I am who I am. And if you don't like it, then it's tough really, isn't it? Like just get on with it. And I've always thought, oh, I've got to do something. I've got, since my career finished, I need to do something. And never found out what it is. And I think I've, obviously there is stuff that I would do if the opportunity come along, but I am really happy at the position I'm in and being able to stay at home with my kids that I don't really need, or I don't really need to, and I don't really want to chase the next thing.
Yeah. But Bridget,
so I'm more happy within myself as a person.
But what one question I've got, obviously I'm on social media, and social media is following. I'm obviously conscious that, you know, people recognise me around Clapham, but I've always wondered, as a football player, you know, your profile, you're known by most people up and down the country. How much does that impact you? Like, I can't imagine going out or being somewhere. Are you conscious that people are looking at you?
I think it's part and parcel. I kind of forget about it after a few beers.
Yeah.
It's not as bad for me. Like, there's some lads that you look at, Bex or Lampsey, probably 100% sure. Like, I could go into a bar and I could walk out of that bar and no one's recognised me. I'll probably blend in with the crowd a little bit. I'm not too bad. I did go to Amsterdam and watch Liam Gallagher in February, just before lockdown. I kind of got recognised everywhere I went. Everywhere. But no one actually thought it was me. They're literally like, my God, you look exactly like him. I'm like, I know, it's crazy, isn't it? And it was like, I got so many messages on Instagram, like when I got back, going, it was actually you. You were in Amsterdam.
Well, Bridgie, if you can go back to your career, I know you probably caused mischief when you were growing up in Winchester. But as you signed your first professional contract when you were 18, do you remember any sort of moments of getting into trouble with the local boys in Winchester?
Yeah, been barred from a few places. I think at a young age, you know, you had a bit too much to drink and like were a bit rowdy, a bit loud. Like, can you get out now? And then there's always someone who will take it too far. So there's a couple of times we've not been allowed in for a few weeks. But no, I've not been that bad. There's a couple of times I've been in trouble for football, like not turning up for training or not turning up on time, drinking before training and stuff. But I think when I first started at Southampton, the drinking culture in football was still there.
Yeah.
It kind of fizzled out as soon as I went to Chelsea, it started to fizzle out a little bit. And obviously, now it's like they can't do anything because it's all on social media. I've got a great story. I got home on a milk float once. That's how I woke up, didn't know where I was, walked outside. There was a milk float. I was like, oh, mate, you've got to get me back.
Oh, my God. Was that at Southampton?
I got training. Yeah, I was out in Winchester and I was with one of my mates. He must have took me back to a house party. and I fell asleep and I woke up. I thought, oh no, I got lifted home by a milk float. It took ages.
That is brilliant. The highlight of your first season for Chelsea was when you scored the winner against Arsenal to send Chelsea into the semi-finals of the Champions League. Still one of the greatest memories for any Chelsea fan. Ending an 18-game winner's run against Arsenal. Can you quickly take us back to that day? What are your memories of the goal? And as you said, you know, drinking culture was just still about there. There were some beautiful old-school characters in that team before Mourinho arrived. How did you boys celebrate that night?
Right, so the actual night, well, it was an amazing night. Obviously, we ended a streak. Always comes into my mind that we blew it in the next round, but let's not talk about that anyway. Brilliant night. You know, I don't score many, so when I did, I was just bundled straight into the crowd. Everyone was just buzzing. And after the goal, I remember the ball just kept coming to me. I just kept smashing it away because I didn't want him to get a goal. And I remember Lampsey screaming at me going, Geezer, they need two goals. Calm down. So from then, I was just absolutely buzzing. The change room was buzzing. Roman coming to the change room afterwards, he was buzzing. There was talk of everyone getting double bonus because he was so happy. And then the night out went from like hero to zero.
Go on.
I was just getting fed drink after drink and I was literally just falling asleep. I was just so drained, like buzzing from the game, didn't really eat afterwards. And then, so what the lads did is they decided to lay me down, but covered me in pillows. And then they forgot about me.
That is so fucking brilliant.
So the cleaners found me in the morning.
Where were you?
Cleaning China Whites.
What a place. What a place.
So that I was hero to zero in just like 2 hours.
That is brilliant.
I got to training on time, though, which was good.
Bridgie, who was the best value on a night out from that era, though, like of the old school boys in that Chelsea team before it got sort of replenished and modernised?
Southampton, it was three times a week. Like beats, Matt the Tit. Like everyone was, you know, you go out after game on a Saturday. Some people would carry on Sunday, Monday off, go out Tuesday because you had Wednesday off, then recover and go out. But like, it was kind of like everyone was doing it. At Chelsea, the core, all the English lads, always good to go out with. But some of the foreign lads that come in, brilliant lads to go out with. Arjen Robben, McAlealy, been out of Macca quite a few times, called McAlealy, Didier Drogba, you know, loads of them love to have a night out, obviously when was possible. Because when we're playing weekend and Champions League, you can't go out. You just don't have the time. So whenever it was like, oh, there's no Champions League game or no cup game midweek, lads were buzzing just to have a night out together.
Bridgie, obviously, I mean, look, I don't play football. I play rugby. And obviously, that's how I saw No Caresy, because we've got mutual respect for each other as players. But obviously, what's like the difference in terms of, I guess, in a rugby team, you get the sense that you go on the field, you're putting your body on the line every time. Not saying that footballers don't do that, but there's kind of like a brotherhood. Are football teams the same? Or on the outside, you get perceived that, like, you know, they're like boys come in from the outside. It's kind of, you get, you know, everyone's paid pretty well. Is there that bonding? And does that make a team? Or have you been part of a team where it's been successful and there isn't that sort of camaraderie?
When I was at Southampton, we definitely had it, like the brotherhood. I think at Chelsea, there was as well. Most of the lads would go out. If there wasn't lads that didn't want it, there might only be a couple. But I think most of the lads would be up for getting together and having a good crack together. Man City was okay as well. There was a good few lads that would definitely get together a lot. One who I'm amazed, who loved a night out, was David Silva, because what a player. You wouldn't think he had that many nights out, but he loved a night out. Carlos Tevez as well. He would always be out. I just think Southampton was probably the more brotherhood one, where everyone went out. Chelsea had it. Started to maybe fizzle a little bit at the end. And obviously, the older I got, I probably still went out when all the lads were going out anyway, actually. Commercial break.
And that was the classic Get You Fark by The Small Faces and Kenny Everett. And next up, we have a new release from a man who got a top 10 single over the Christmas charts, a man we've a great champion of, Mr. Archie Cousin, with his new single, Alistair, My Dad Is You. Alistair.
There's a guy in our rugby team called No Chat Pat. He plays lock. He's got size 14 shoes. He wears hiking boots on a night out, and he doesn't know how to talk to any of the cheekers. he's not classic on a night out, and we all try and stay away with him, like stay away from him. If there was anyone in your playing career in any of your teams, who was the No Chat Pat of any of those teams you played with? Who you were just like, nah, your banter's rubbish. Your chat is...
It's probably me because I was so drunk. Do you know what? Rob Green, the goalie, I think he was just one of them that he'd be quite happy to just sit in front of a fire and read his book rather than have a night out with the lads.
He's, by the way, if you're listening to this, Rob Green, you're not welcome in Clapham. maybe I'll put him in contact with No Chat Pat, and maybe they can sort of have a friendship. Go to a pub and do a puzzle.
I would love a night out with Jimmy Blas.
Bridgie, I've read that you had a difficult relationship with Jose Mourinho at times. Can you give us some examples of when things just got a bit sticky between the two of you because he was a bit of an arse?
There's only one time where I probably lost it a little bit, and it was just he was on my case, and it might have stemmed from, you know, there's times he's dragged me off at half time, but he's not said anything. He's not like, you're this, you're that, you're shit. And like, don't get me wrong, I didn't play like my best game, but the whole team was bad. But it was like, you're off, it's your fault. And I was like, it's harsh. I know if I've played a bad game. So there's times I think he's just too harsh. I think would have been following that. It was on my case in training. Everything I did, there was something wrong with it. And I just carried on. And then I turned to him, what is your fucking problem? And then I didn't answer him. No, seriously, what is your fucking problem? And he never spoke to me, never answered me at all to this day. Never said a thing to me, and he never spoke to me afterwards either.
Do you then know that your time's up? Do you know?
Well, I turned the corner with him since then. I remember.
You still look the same, Bridgie. You haven't aged a bit.
Wait to see the next one, misses. I look about 20 years older. And it was the first, not the first time he spoke to me, but the first, it was a kind of a proper praise. It was like, you've been brilliant. I've been really good of late. I was playing most of the games. And then he was like, we've got Barcelona coming up in a couple of weeks. Make sure you're ready. And it was basically saying, you've been playing well, you're going to play. And then we played Newcastle and I broke my leg.
Bridgie, obviously you just said there you're unlucky with that ankle injury against Newcastle, but you still won your Premier League winners' medal. Can you please take us through that evening? I mean, the first time in God knows how many years Chelsea win the Prem. You lift up the trophy. Where was the party that night and what took place?
I don't even know.
Must have been a good one.
Somewhere in London. Yeah, it would have been a good one.
It's probably the time you visited Inferno's and you just can't remember.
Inferno's more recent, actually, believe it or not.
Bridgie, just to finish on Jose, not personally to you, but what was the, you know, we've heard him going to the showers with Lampard and like grabbing by the balls. What was the craziest thing you witnessed Jose do on or off the pitch?
I had a teacher like that.
As long as you think we have Macca's, his hands ain't big enough. Do you know what? He was good for the lads. There's times we've had pre-seasons in America and he's thrown a party. And like, when I mean thrown a party, Snoop Dogg's there, everyone's there.
Really? Jeez. That's amazing.
I should have been playing for Chelsea at that time. I would have fitted in.
Team spirit and stuff like that. It is hard. You see how he treats some players. I'm a bit like... I think it's a bit harsh sometimes. And where he's, do you know where I think he's a great coach? Don't get me wrong, he's a really, really, really good coach. Where he's had a bit of a tough time at United and Tottenham, I think sometimes he looks like a bit of a spoiled kid throwing his teddies out of pram.
Yeah, he's got to lighten up a bit.
He's not going his way. I don't think he deals with it that well sometimes.
No.
But it's funny. It's funny to watch. I love seeing that.
Bridgie, going on to your international career, you represented England at 2 World Cups and the Euros and, you know, a number of occasions, 30+. But it feels that you didn't enjoy your time away with England. In fact, perhaps you even hated it at times. Can you tell us how tough it got and why was it such a nightmare?
It wasn't a nightmare, obviously, when I first started. It was just the fact, so when I first started buzzing to play for England, played really well. But then from then on, it was like, well, if Ashley's injured, I might get a game. If he's not, then I ain't going to get a game.
Yeah.
Might play some qualifiers and stuff, because obviously Ashley does pick up injuries. But whenever it came to a tournament, Ash would always be fit. And to be honest, he was probably always our best player.
Yeah.
And I just got fed up of sitting on a bench. Great to represent your country, but like sat on the bench watching. And I wasn't like hoping for him to get injured. I was just like, I'm not going to come on against Argentina. at left midfield for a little bit. And I don't care what anyone says, you don't feel like you're really part of the team just sat on the bench. I don't care what anyone says. If you do, then you haven't got it in you, the fight or the... You shouldn't be happy sat on the bench. And I just wasn't. And it's things that piss me off would be like, oh, right, we played yesterday. We're going to do some ice baths today. You know, we're a team that's getting it together. I don't need a fucking ice bath. I didn't play. I don't want a fucking ice bath. Just fucking go and train. Like us 10 can just go and train and play five-a-side. What do I want? Well, we're a team. And I was like, oh, fuck. I'm like, I fucking hate ice baths. So why the fuck do I want to go and sit in one? I used to lose my head a little bit. So, yeah.
It's a bit... They left me behind
in Japan. Right, we finished the World Cup. Woke up. We got knocked out. We had a night out and I got left behind.
Really?
They forgot about me.
What, they left you in the hotel?
Left me in the hotel.
Jesus Christ, that is amazing.
How bad's that?
Bridgie, training ground spats are commonplace in football and rugby, but what's the worst one you've ever witnessed?
About the ones with unders, I've actually seen there and been there and seen it, is Shevchenko and Tel Ben Haim. So, if you don't know, Tel Ben Haim's a centre-back.
Some great eyebrows.
Yeah. Loved kicking people, loved getting stuck in. Sheva was tough though, he was solid. He was, you know, you couldn't like just bully him. And them two had a little bit of a handbags as it went to kind of kick off. Sheva just threw this like five punch combo and Tel Ben Haim was done. Just done, just finished him off. It was like a jab, right, hook, uppercut. Mate, it was just brilliant. Like, no one ever knew Sheva had it. Had that in him. It was just brilliant. The way he like danced like he was a boxing trick. Bang, 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 bang. Tail was done.
Oh my God, that is incredible. Well, Archie loves the post-game team showers in rugby even more than the match. And it's a theme which runs through all rugby clubs in the country. They just love post-match showers. Is there such a thing as a team shower in football? And also, can you reveal if those famous stories about Makaleli are true?
Bridgie, just to give you some context, in the Clapham Falcons Rugby Club, we do a thing called the bum funnel. It's where we put a bottle of beer through our arse crack and the other person lies on the floor and takes it through their mouth. But that's very rugby. I'm not sure that would happen in football.
Yeah, it's definitely not happened in football.
You can try a bum funnel when you come to Clapham. Kersey loves it.
Again, I think this is a thing that has died out in football, that there is always baths and... You know, I remember at Southampton, there would be like 6-7 baths together and there would be showers. So there would be a group that jump in the bath together and have a beer together in the bath. And then as football has gone on, like you go there and there's never a bath. It's just showers.
No,
there's not a lot going on. Makaleli, yeah, his dick is like my forearm, basically.
Bridgie, one of our main sponsors is Manscaped, who are trying to keep people, you know, well sort of groomed below the waist. Who's got the worst bush you ever witnessed in professional football?
God,
great question. Freddie's trying to be the next Piers Morgan, and that is a hell of a question.
It is. I can't really. I couldn't pick no one, to be honest.
Look, I imagine Peter Chat. I'm just gonna say,
if I picked one, I'd just be picking one just because
everyone's got one.
Maybe has got it, but there's no one that really sticks out. I think fuck, he was bushy. Most people took care of themselves. I'm just going to chuck out Tel Ben Haim just because he's really hairy.
Yeah. Fair play. You can tell a lot by a man by his eyebrows. I'm looking at Freddie right now. If you saw Freddie's eyebrows, you'd know that he probably needs a bit of manscaping.
I've seen him to be fair.
Bridgie, post your playing days, you've done some wonderful TV work and punditry and some incredible things. But apart from the obvious candidate, how good did it feel to knock down Spencer Matthews and beat him in the charity boxing bout?
It was it was good. It was. I'd love training for it. What was good with that was the referee was really good. He'd never let it go too far. I think Spencer had like two or three standing counts, and it was well controlled. I know the compere of the night, and I've heard Spencer saying stuff that he was going to knock me out, and he just came over to me and went, "Oh my God," he said, "he's so confident." He said, "I'm going to knock him out. Don't worry about that."
Oh my God.
And I was just like, I can't believe this geezer is so confident. I was just like, fair play. But yeah, I was quite comfortable in there. I loved it.
Oh, you destroyed him.
I did enjoy doing it. I'd love to do it again because I've had two fights and I felt like I got better each one. But to be honest, the sparring's brutal. I sparred with some really good people. Got beat up quite a few times.
Well, Bridgie, your nickname was Triple B, right? which is actually the a third of Archie's business mantra. He's got a business mantra, which is Triple A, Triple B, Triple C. But Archie's currently in training to box Alex Payne from The Good, Bad and the Rugby in May. What would your advice be to him?
Well, listen, we're in discussions at the moment. So me and Payne have got a bit of beef. Obviously, Hask, James Haskell, the fridge, is a good friend of mine, and we've set this up. At the moment,
by the way, has he done his fight yet?
No. Unfortunately, he's got a bad toe.
I knew that wasn't going to happen. Carry on. Sorry.
Yeah. I've told Payno that I count myself as like the privately educated Ricky Hatton. Like, I'm going to come forward, duck and weave, and hit the body quite hard. We're probably going to be around the 78 kg mark. My body fat's hopefully going to be under 10%.
What style are you? Are you like a fancy style?
I'm Mexican. I get my hands up. I'm getting in that pocket. I'm putting my head on his chest, and I'm beating that body, that chassis, as hard as I can.
He fights like you.
If I had some any advice for you, which is basically what I did for my first fight, I didn't stop punching so he couldn't hit me. That's all I did. That's
what I'm going to try. I'm going to remember my first fight. Payno's got a bit of a chassis like Tyson Fury. He's a bit wobbly around the edges.
Who's posher out of you two?
Well, good question, Bridgie. both our parents have places abroad, and we both went to private educated schools. I'll just say I've got a bit more of the chat, and he's got a terrible, terrible lid, and I've got a suspicion he might play hockey.
I want to watch this, by the way. When is it?
I'll get Payno. Do you know Payno?
Yeah. I've met him a couple of times.
Yeah, I'll get Payno to send you a ticket. You can definitely come.
Well, Bridgie, maybe we can sign you up. If you're looking for another fight, we just have to find someone to fight against you.
Get you in with Mike Tyndall.
Wait, I'm a bit of a unit at the moment. I'd have to cut some weight.
What about going in with Mike Tyndall? Tins would be up for it.
Oh, I met him one night. That was hilarious. He told a story about his... I can't remember what he said. My mate sent it to me. I can't even remember saying it to him. I think I told him to fuck off.
There it is. That's the start of it.
It wasn't in a bad way. I went to the podcast they do and watched it with a few of my mates. Was that in Clapham?
Clapham Ground.
It's the home of rugby, Bridgie.
Yeah, so I went there and watched the live one. My rugby mates were trying to keep me out. And, mate, we had polished off some beers and then, like, we'd start drinking wine. We'd polish off a good few bottles. And I just wanted to go home. And he came over and said, get yourself out. And I just said, oh, fuck off, will you? I was like, in a joking way, but I was just, everyone was trying to get me to stay out. But no, he's too much of a unit for me, I think.
Well, Bridgie, you're married to the wonderful Frankie, singer from the Saturdays, TV presenter, podcast host, etc. Can you lift the lid on how you both met and how did you go about wooing her? I mean, she's an incredible lady.
We were out in a club and she was there. James Corden was actually there. And we're all in the same vicinity, just dancing around, drinking, having a crack. And I asked I asked what she like. And obviously chatted to her a little bit, not like, you don't know what someone's really like. And he didn't actually really know her that well. Oh yeah, she's great. Nicked her phone, put my number in it, and that was it. And then she ended up meeting me. She was about an hour late, as in Zuma. And when she turned up, I was chatting to two birds at the bar because I thought she'd stood me up. So I was just sitting birds at the bar. And I was like, oh, my date's here. See you later.
We've obviously been locked up for almost a year now, but we recently celebrated Valentine's Day, if we were lucky enough. And you sent a wonderful card to your wife, Frankie. Can you tell our listeners what the card said? And how did you both celebrate lockdown Valentine's? I mean, how do you introduce a spark when we've been locked together for so long?
Well, my card said, you make my knob throb. Or you still make my knob throb, I can't remember.
I might put that on my Hinge profile.
You know what I mean, it's like you can be together for a long time and it doesn't make it do it, but it still makes me stand to attention, she does. So,
well, Bridgie, you and your missus have both spoken about how timing is key in the boudoir. Haskell recently said that he now purely is an afternoon operator. With all the craziness going on in the world, how do you keep the timings right in the boudoir nowadays?
I'm up and down, to be honest. Literally up and down, yeah. Because of our kids and the lockdown, bedtime has become harder, so it has become a daytime thing. But that's also been quite hard because with homeschooling, it can be quite difficult. There has been
Single, but I obviously, ladies, when lockdown finishes, I'm ready to mingle. But I'm also a daytime operator as well, just so you know. I prefer the daytime, just a bit of me time.
But you do it over Zoom.
Yeah, I do a lot of Zoom sex.
You get it where you can. I like an evening one. I like a late night one, but my missus isn't as keen. She'd rather a bit early, and she likes to go to bed early as well. I do like a daytime as well, and it makes you feel good afterwards.
I've had a couple today, and I feel great.
You've got me on here.
Bridgie, you've been absolutely incredible. We could talk all afternoon, evening and night. And I mean, we're going to have to get you back on because you've got a stable of stories which just need to be told. But yeah, I mean, I think that's good for the first episode to get everyone just incredibly excited.
Yeah, Bridgie, thanks so much, mate. Giving up your time. You're the biggest guest we've had on the podcast, so we massively appreciate it. And we look forward to getting you, Kersey and Jordan Turner Hall on a night out in the Infernos very soon.
Right, we get it on. Jordan's great lad as well.
Mate, we'll get you to the boxing as well when I fight Pano.
Oh, yeah, I'm well up for that, definitely.
Thank you so much.
Cheers,
Bridgie.
Bridgie.
Honestly,
take care, mate.
You're an absolute legend. Cheers, mate. Thank you. Well, I think that was
yes,
the loosest
please,
guest we've ever
Saturday
had.
Saturday night, and I'm ready to get loose. Ooh, baby.
God, Bridgie loves
Saturday
a drink,
Saturday night,
doesn't
he? And Bridgie's coming out. Oh, baby. If you could have one more person in the park, I would have asked Bridgie to come and join me and Clefty.
He had some incredible stories there.
Yeah. What a top lad.
We could have done a whole other fucking interview with him. I mean, he's just genius. He was great, great value.
If he had gone to a really good school, he would have been a very successful businessman.
It's time for a member from Archie's Diary. You better sit back, cause it's gonna get fiery. It's time for a member from Archie's Diary. If your girls are single, then make an inquiry.
So Archie, before we get another little section from your Gap Year Diaries.
Yeah, people are loving that as well.
It is time to say that this section is officially sponsored by the wonderful guys from Sons, who are doing all they can to try and get people to have their original lids back. Is that too much to ask? No, they're the real magicians out here.
Yeah, I just don't know why people aren't doing it.
Well, I think they are.
Okay, so why are they still sponsoring the podcast?
Because they need more people to do it. They know that, you know, 20-30% of people between the ages of 20 and 30 are losing their hair. They're thinning on top. They don't have a lid anymore. And guess what? There is a way to salvage it. There's a way to save it. And that is from Sons. It works in 9 out of 10 guys, over 90% of people. So if you guys really have an interest in getting on in life, getting coin, chat, and a great chat, then you have to start with a strong lid. So go to the Sons website and put in the code RIGBIZ20 for 20 quid off a 1 month or 3 month package. Trust me, the cheekers will thank you.
Friday the 16th of September. It's Friday, or as my boss calls it, Full Body Friday. That's because me and him go to the gym on Friday lunchtimes and do 2 supersets on each muscle while brainstorming about clients. It's amazing. Our chat is so good on a business level and banter level. Next year, I start my Chanter course to become fluent in city banter. And once I pass that, I'll get a pay rise. Anyway, after the gym, me and my boss will go to Sainsbury's and have a rotisserie chicken each. We're both bulking, so we're trying to eat a whole chicken a day. Tonight, the whole team are heading to Ping in the city to play table tennis and have beers, and we don't have a game this Saturday, so it will get loose. God, I love working in the city, and I love going out in my suit. My boss said to bring my business cards, because he says it's great to give to girls, but that's our little secret, because he said if his wife finds out, she'll kill him.
Clubhouse stories, oh, initiations, we all know. Clubhouse stories, oh, initiations, we want to know them now.
Well, Archie, today on Clubhouse Stories...
Oh, Fred, this section just keeps getting better and better. The stories recently have been phenomenal.
They have been absolutely fantastic.
It's just a little chunk of chat in this podcast where I think everyone really enjoys, especially the rugby fans, because it is just so rugby.
Yeah, a little Cuba banter. Well, today's story comes from Lucas Newsome.
Newsy, that's what I call him.
And it's short but sweet, but he says, "Hi, Rig Biz Pod.
Okay.
I hope this finds you well.
It does. Carry on.
You had a lovely weekend.
I did. Thanks. Looking forward to doing business.
I'll keep this initiation story short and sweet.
Perfect. Let's talk business.
It was a scavenger hunt whilst competing challenges, one of which was to shit in your hands and clap.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's... that. And?
One, not to tell the kids, stay safe, and on.
That's it?
Yeah.
Who is this guy?
Well, Lucas Newsome.
I mean, he can just email the podcast and that's his chat.
Yeah, well, certainly, yeah.
Okay. No, mate. That is poor chat.
Okay.
I'm going to have to give that a 1 out of 10. There's no effort there. Well, you need to set the ambience.
Well, do you want another one?
Yeah, go on. Yeah, okay. You hit me one more.
This is from...
Wait, what's that guy called?
Lucas Newsom.
Lucas Newsom. Okay. Well, I hope people who know him can sort of have a word with him. Because unfortunately, I'm going to have to, if I'm connected with him on LinkedIn, I'm going to look. I'm going to have to remove connection.
Well, this one comes from Ewan Evans.
Right. Ewan Evans. I'd just probably call him Ewan.
Right, okay. Well, he says, dear Monsieur Cousin and Mr. Claude.
Okay. Is he French?
No, just trying to be cultured.
Right, okay. Like it. Caught my attention.
I hope this mail finds you well.
It does. Well, slightly less well after the previous email.
Unfortunately, I'm not writing to you to regale in my clubhouse story.
Okay, so why are you emailing?
I instead wanted to pass on the best bit of chanter I have heard from initiations.
Okay.
Is that legal?
Well, that's copyright infringement, but okay, carry on.
Okay, well, as a caveat...
So it's not his chat.
It's not his chat, okay. But it kind of is. As a caveat, I wish to add to this that this was told to me by a Birmingham University med student / prop forward with a suspect chass.
Yeah.
The story goes...
I'm not confident about this.
The story goes that as these lads all have a serious bit of coin, a village hall is rented somewhere in Wales, the land of our fathers. Upon arrival, the lads are given two tablets... One is Viagra, yeah. And the other is an anti-sickness tablet.
Oh, okay.
They're then made to complete a number of tasks. Drinking substances you wouldn't want to willingly ingest and would make a man vomit. However, due to the tablet being taken, this is not the case.
Okay, and carry on.
And then he says, I wish this was my own tale, although I'm sure you enjoyed it regardless. Okay. Well, we didn't.
Can you block people on emails?
Well, I'm going to try to, because that was absolutely shocking.
That was terrible. We've had two... One hour chat there. That's a poor week for the clubhouse.
That's a really bad week for clubhouse.
You know, people who know this section expect full frontal banter.
And we haven't got it.
Yeah. Well, disappointing.
Well, guys, please, next week, send in your best stories because we need to beat those two horrible efforts from Ewan and Lucas. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening
to
another...
What a podcast.
Yeah, another
Except
great...
Except for the clubhouse stories...
Let us down a bit.
Yeah. So we probably conceded two tries in that period. We switched off near the end of the game.
Yeah.
And they snuck in two tries.
Yeah. But sometimes that happens in life.
And the team switched off. But I gathered the team around and said, guys, not on my watch. And we went back up the end and we scored two tries ourselves.
And we just shaded it.
Yeah. 33-10. We won that match.
Well, Bridge, you played a great role as
And you know
center.
Who would have loved that podcast?
Who?
Liv Bentley, Ollie Locke, and his husband Garth, who are... constant, you know, listeners and supporters so well. Guys, thank you so much for your support.
They wouldn't have been able to take the energy.
It means the bloody world to us.
Yeah. We love the fact that they listen. Guys, please don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and comment. You know what? This week, we're going to give away a little prize for the best comment. So if you can do something fantastic, be original. Break out from the mold of doing AAA, BBB, CCC. Let's hear your best chant.
I love it when people swear.
Well, really?
That's quite risque, yeah. I've got quite a lot of respect. You know, that's ballsy. That's what I respect people when they're ballsy.
Okay, well, be funny, swear a bit, and let's have some fun. We'll see you next week.
Guys, cannot wait to see you next week. And if anyone's on the comment on Saturday, it's going to be a cracker.